الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أولم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم، كانوا أشد منهم قوة وأثاروا الأرض وعمروها أكثر مما عمروها. صدق الله العظيم. When we turn the pages of Quran and we read the stories of the previous nations, how they had oppressed and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed them, whether it is the nation of Ad, the nation of Thamud, the people of Nuh alayhi salam, whoever we may read, and the outcome of their oppression, many a times we think and we perceive these to be fairy tales, something that happened many centuries ago, in the bygone days, that those who oppressed and came in combat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had treated them. It seems like a fairy tale. It seems like something that is very far-fetched. But know well, brothers and elders, Allah has blessed us with Quran, and Quran is a living testimony that will continue to exist until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the stories of each and every nation, highlights a principle that when a nation oppresses, when they commit atrocities to an extent that is unacceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes retribution from them. This is a standing principle. Whoever oppressed, Allah gave them respite up to a period of time. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cracks the whip, then there is no hiding from the whip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why I say that sometimes we think this to be a fairy tale? In the 21st century, even up to this day, we see a manifestation of this principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the few minutes that I have, I would just like to narrate to you something, a recount of a visit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to visit the land of Afghanistan, where you see the manifestation of this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that those who disbelieve, يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they spend their wealth, the disbelievers spend their wealth with what motivation? لِيَصُدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, to block and to be a barrier in the path of Allah. That is the motivation. The motivation of spending their wealth is to become an hindrance in the establishment of the system of Allah on this earth. In the 20 years of occupation, while official accounts speak of $2.3 trillion, some accounts go up to $5.5 trillion that were spent in the land of Afghanistan by America and its allied forces. Only Allah knows, probably they haven't even revealed the true amount of that spending. But if you seen the infrastructure that they had placed for themselves, Afghanistan is known as a land to experience extreme amount of cold during the winter and very harsh summers, in scorching heat in the summers. But they built such barracks for themselves that was almost summer in winter and winter in summer. To the extent people say that they even would bring water from America. That's the amount of wealth that they spent. And Allah tells us, this is the ayat of Quran. Allah says that the disbelievers will spend with the motivation for what? To become an hindrance for the in the establishment of the system of Allah. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in the same verse, فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا, that they will spend their wealth. They will spend their wealth and they will profit from it. Because wars in the 21st century are actually a profit-making machine. So they will spend this wealth. But Allah says, what will be the outcome of that? ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً. It will be a means of regret. It will be a means of remorse. What has the American occupation acquired after 20 years? When the time came in the early part of last year, when the Doha deal was signed, they already knew that their time is coming to an end. It was less than a space of 15 to 20 days when they ran and they ran with whatever they could take and leaving nothing behind. And this is a clear sign when you see that our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nations of the past, that they spent, they did what they had done in order to strike terror and fear in the hearts of the people. But in the end of the day, they achieved nothing out of it. Now the question arises that what was their intention? What did they want to do? Why was Afghanistan so significant for them? And why has it been significant for many of the empires prior to the American invasion? Afghanistan is commonly referred to as the graveyard of empires. So prior to the American invasion, which lasted 20 years, which started post 9/11, with such arrogance and with such boastfulness, the American leaders said that you're either with us or you're against us. And nobody will be, the American army, can you imagine an army that has such military might that is cannot be matched in any by any other army in the world, that has modern day technology that can probably even pick up a cat that is walking on the earth. But simple people, a majority of them are even illiterate, who are living in a harsh terrain. When you travel into the out into the countryside of Afghanistan, you see these huge rocky mountains, extreme harsh terrains. Probably you and I will not even be able to survive in those situations. Very little water, no even network available. Even the type of food that people eat is difficult for us to survive in those conditions. But why was it that prior to the Americans, even the Soviets had to run away with their tails between their legs? Prior to that, 60 years before that, you had the British Empire that met its destruction in the land of Afghanistan. There are several reasons for which probably they have their sights on this part of the world. Many different reasons. One could be because of its very strategic location, often referred to as the heart of Asia. And it is very strategically located on the historic Silk Route, which was the trade route between Asia and the Middle East. And moreover, the land of Afghanistan is extremely rich in minerals. It has deposits of different unique minerals that are required in modern day technology. But with the arrogance that they came in, even the people of Afghanistan say that we had no idea that the enemy will run away at such quick pace. How they went away in such a quick and such a swift manner, it is only the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we read about in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when we read the story, for example, of the story of Badr, where Sahaba were ill-equipped, Sahaba had nothing with them, facing the superpower of that time, but how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them to their feet. You see the manifestation of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there are many questions that people are asking, and I stand before you to narrate a few, to give this account, because of a request that was made to us. We were part of a delegation on behalf of the Jamiatul Ulama that went to meet the leadership of the government that is currently in control of Afghanistan. And one of the requests that they made to us, and they said, go and tell the people of the world what you have seen. Go and tell the people of the world what you have seen and what you have witnessed. Because we have successfully driven the enemy out. We have successfully taken the enemy out of our country. And it wasn't a simple price that they paid. The entire nation is battered. People paid with their blood. People paid with their sweat. There is hardly a home, hardly a family, hardly a community that can say that they have not given martyrs, that they had not given and not suffered in some way or the other. Official accounts, what they say, they have only on record, and they have stopped they're unable to continue recording it, but officially they have recorded more than 400,000 orphans. And can you imagine the amount of widows that go with that? So it is a battered nation, but they are standing at this moment with their heads up very high. They are standing up with a sense of pride and a sense of superiority and prominence, despite the fact that they did not have much with them. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used them to drive out the greatest superpower of this world. And the greatest bounty that they are enjoying at this moment is the peace and the fact that you can sleep a peace, have a peaceful sleep at night. People say that for 20 years, every night when you would put your head on the pillow, there was no guarantee that you will wake up the next morning. And why was it so? Because the occupying forces that were there, most often they would conduct their raids and they would conduct their attacks at night. And very brutal. Many of the sisters of this ummah lost their honor at the hands of these people. And to such an extent, people accounted where these forces would come in the middle of the night, storm into a home, line up the people of the home, and sometimes they would spray a whole lot of bullets on them, and very often they would let dogs upon them to eat them up and to devour at them. So the fact that people are able to sleep at night and to have a peaceful sleep, despite the fact that they may have very little with them, but now that they have given opportunity to enjoy just a peaceful sleep, is something that they are appreciative of and something that they are very thankful for. A very important question that many people are asking, and they say that we faced the enemy and we defeated the enemy with our meager weapons, and they have gone, but now they are using another weapon upon us, and that is to change the hearts and minds of people against us. And this also was done during the 20-year occupation. A similar process was done where the hearts and minds of people were turned against any representation of Islam, any representation or any form of governance that was going to come about and to establish the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A continuous effort was being made throughout the 20 years to turn the entire populace against those who had the desire to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is continuing up to after the enemy has left. Now through the means of media, one of the very contentious issues, or rather something that is being used to besmear and to tarnish their reputation, is that regarding women. The story whether women are being allowed to seek an education or not seek an education. But before we explain what is the current situation regarding that, we have to understand that any nation or any group of people, or rather the principles of Islam, has its own framework and its own standards. The West tries to impose its standards of what is appropriate and what is inappropriate, and wants the world to conform to that. So if the world sees it fit for a woman to be used as a means of acquiring livelihood or a mere commodity in this world, they try to fit that same framework on the rest of this world. Given that, even though people, or the information that is being passed through the media, that women are being deprived, or women are being oppressed, that is far from the case. That is far from the reality. If you walk in the streets, in the major cities, you will see women walking around. Women are not being lashed. Women are not being forced to wear niqab. Yes, it is something that is encouraged. Something that is very strongly promoted. But if a woman does not wear niqab, she is not being ostracized, or she is not being forced to stay secluded in her home. That is not the case. That is the image that is being portrayed to the world. If you drive around in the streets of Kabul, you will see women. And not only that, we learn from the state of Madina Munawwara, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madina Munawwara, and throughout the life, the period of Khulafa'i Rashidin and the remainder empires of the Muslim Ummah, that when there were groups who were not necessarily aligned to Islam, whether they may have been Christian communities or Jewish communities, they were allowed to practice their faith. In a similar manner, in Afghanistan, there are certain minorities who do not agree with their belief systems. They are the Shia who are living there. They are 5 to 10% of the population. But they are allowed to live. They are allowed to practice the doctrines of their religion. Yes, we may not agree with them. We may not agree with their their belief system, and we are very apprehensive of some of the actions, but they are allowed to live, and they are allowed to continue their faith in whichever way they are doing it. In addition to that, when people are asking regarding the question regarding women's education, girls are going to school, girls are going to universities. We even drove past the University of Kabul and there were females that came out of the university. So the impression that is being given to, yes, in terms of secondary education, there are certain challenges that they are facing in terms of the financial capacity to be able to allow that. But in its time, it will be resolved. They have their own challenges where the state funds have been frozen and state funds have been blocked. But the people are working very hard. People in the leadership are working very hard, and they are saying that we have presented a model to this ummah. We have presented a model to this ummah. A model of a government in the 21st century. This ummah is living an entire century. The fall of the last Khilafah, the Khilafat Uthmaniyah, the Ottoman Empire fell almost 100 years ago. And since the fall of the Khilafah, there's been no recognizable or even a sustainable model of the governance of Islam and the establishment of the Sharia that has been presented and that has been given to the Muslim Ummah. They are saying, we have brought a model. We are in our state of weakness. Like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Sahaba, كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ, like a little plant. Initially it is a sapling, and then it grows up, and then it gains its strength until it starts giving leaves and giving fruit and start giving benefit to the people. They are saying that we have presented a model. We have sacrificed with our blood. We have sacrificed with whatever we have. We have given our widows, we have given our orphans, and we are giving this ummah a model. It is a requirement of this ummah to support this model. Now many people are also asking the question that they are saying that they have established Islam. What is the meaning of the establishment of Islam? And it was a question that I posed to one senior alim to ask him, that people are going to, when we go back home, they're going to ask us that you're saying that you have established an Islamic government. What is the manifestation of Islamic government? And immediately this alim recited the ayat of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladina immakkannahum fil ard, that those who we have given superiority on this land, we have given them authority on this land, aqamu salat. The first responsibility and the first duty that they advocate, aqamu salat, that they establish salah. And by the establishment of salah, it denotes that they advocate the establishment of every form of physical worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second responsibility and the second duty that they undertake, aqamu salata wa atawu zakah, and they institute the system of zakah. This denotes every form of monetary worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since the establishment of the Imara, which is just over 13 months now, in terms of what has already been established, the entire interest system has been abolished from the country. There is no interest interest transactions that are taking place in any of the banks of the country. Further to that, Allah says, وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and they advocate the instruction of good deeds, وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and all forms of evil are removed from the country. So for example, the entire 20 years, one of the major reasons why the enemy or why this country was colonized or why it was occupied, it was because of the poppy seed trade that has been completely been abolished and it has been completely stopped. Yes, maybe somebody will do it illegally, and if somebody does it illegally, then the media takes that and blows it up in whichever way it does it. But the request that they are making to the Muslim Ummah is that we are at a state of weakness. We request your support in different ways, and the most you can do. Brothers and elders, after this Ummah has been battered in so many different parts of this world, in so many different corners of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in our lifetime an opportunity to live through a period of history where once again the establishment, or rather an attempt, is being made to establish the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. And inshallah, over a period of time, we are hopeful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will yield its results and it will be able to bring back to this ummah the goodness and the barakat that this ummah was once the custodian of by virtue of establishing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the suffering of the Muslims in different parts of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a means of having a share in the goodness of this ummah in whichever part of the world it may be. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Say jazakumullah ahsan al-jazat wa marana bilal sahab for that report back. Very interesting, and it brings to mind also that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. In the concept and in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the creator of time. Allah is the creator of time. And because Allah created time, Allah gives respite. So we find that oppression, sometimes you feel in your heart what's happening in Afghanistan or in Palestine, all these places in Syria. It hurts the heart of a believer, which is natural. That is the consciousness of our iman, that wherever one brother is suffering, it brings hurt and pain to the ummah at large. That is our belief system. And Allah gives time, and Allah gives time to these people, because Allah is the creator of time. But when Allah Ta'ala's whip hits, then there is nobody who can stand before that. So, as Maulana had mentioned, mine and your obligation is to ensure that Allah has blessed us so much in this country, that where we can come for our salah, we do our zakah, and the various other obligations, we are so free to, alhamdulillah, we are so free to commit to these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take this opportunity. Let us make shukr to Allah for this ni'mat. There are many who want these ni'mats and blessings, and they don't have these ni'mats and blessings. May Allah give us the understanding. And on a weekly basis, we remind the brothers of our collection that takes place. The two collections, one is for the Mission of Mercy, the other for the Masjid and Madrasa collection. Inshallah, let us pour our hearts, open our hearts and our wallets, inshallah. Our charity will be our means of shade on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. Our charity will be our means of shade on the day of Qiyamah. And the more shade that we require, inshallah, the more we spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the understanding, inshallah. الحمد لله الذي لم يزل ولا يزال حيا قيوما عالما قديرا مدبرا سميعا بصيرا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وأكبره تكبيرا ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل إلى الناس كافة بشيرا ونذيرا صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا أيها الناس إن لكم معالم فانتهوا إلى معالمكم وإن لكم نهاية فانتهوا إلى نهايتكم فإن العبد المؤمن بين مخافتين بين أجل قد مضى لا يدري ما الله قادم به فليتزود العبد من نفسه لنفسه ومن حياته لموته ومن شبابه لكبره ومن دنياه لآخرته فوالذي نفس بيده ما بعد الموت من مستعتب ولا بعد الدنيا دار إلا الجنة أو النار قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وقال تعالى أيضا الذين كفروا ينفقون أموالهم ليصدوا عن سبيل الله فسينفقونها ثم تكون عليهم حسرة ثم يغلبون والذين كفروا إلى جهنم يحشرون صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وبقية الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا اللهم اسقنا غيثا مغيثا مريعا مريعا نافعا غير طار عاجلا غير آجل اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانتين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة. Let us ensure ourselves straight, shoulder to shoulder with our heels in line, making sure that we fill all the gaps. There is still place in the precincts of the masjid. Let's try to fill the gaps in the masjid, inshallah, making place for those brothers who are at the back.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر
Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. اللهم اسكن الغيث. اللهم اسكن الغيث. اللهم اسكن الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.